Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, we begin Perek Shmoyne Asa, the 18th Perek in Hilchas Ishus, the Laws of Marriage, in the Rambam Sefer Nashim, where the Rambam continues of the previous Perek regarding the woman after the marriage is over, when she's collecting her ksuba. And that related vein, we discuss the laws of an almana, of a widow, and Mizoyne Seha, and the sustenance that she gets. Some ideas that Rambam is going to discuss in this Perek is the schuyas, the merits that the almana, that the widow gets in regards to the Yarshim, in regards to the inheritors, and their rights that they have by her. What's Allah of Mesev? She died, v'loy nishba, but she didn't take an oath. The laws of Tfisa, if she seizes something, then she takes control of it, or takes possession of it. Regarding an almana, a widow that fell in front of a yavam, regarding from whom does she get mezainis, from who does she get sustenance from. Yichud karka, if he designates lands for her mezainis. Regarding a widow that she comes to court to be teveya, to claim her mezainis, her maisi adayim, what's the laws of the income, the wages that she makes. Regarding a poor or wealthy woman who she waited a certain amount of time and she did not claim her mezainis. And finally, regarding a widow, that what's the halacha in regards to when she makes a claim for her sustenance from the yershim, from the inheritance. So begin halacha aleph. The Rambam starts off with the rights and the obligations of and the losses that a widow has in halacha. Halacha aleph. Amana nizaynis minichse yershim. A widow gets fed, she's sustained, from the assets of the inheritors, which they inherited from her husband. And this is kolzman almanusa, as long as she's a widow, which that he obligated himself in the ksuba, as Rama mentioned in Perikid Beis, which is one of the stipulations of the court, even though it's not even written as halacha as it was written. And this is ad shetitol ksubasa, until she goes and she takes and she collects her ksuba. In contrast, the yershim, they can't tell her, okay, we'll pay up your ksuba and you're not going to get fed anymore. Until she decides to collect her ksuba, she gets sustained, she gets fed from the estate. Now, umshetitfa ksubasa bebezin. Now, when she goes and claims her ksuba in court, then in La Mazayna's then she doesn't get Mazayna's anymore because she already revealed her intention that she wants to move on and get married. And the husband only wrote to her in the Ksuba, you're going to stay in my house and get fed from my estate as long as you're a widow, which is only if she's a widow because of his honor. But if she's planning to get married to someone else, then she has no more rights anymore. Also, if she sold her entire Ksuba, or Mishnah Ksuba, or she used it as security for a loan, or Esa Ksuba, or she went and she made her Ksuba, meaning the land which is designated for Ksuba, she made it as a Paitikila Acher, she made it as a designated place, a land that's it could be used for collection, as Rama explains who that is. She tells somebody, this is where you could collect your debt, which Rashi Baba Kama says, from the words, this is the place where you're going to collect from. Where in all these situations that we just described, it says, if she collected a ksuba, and as we said, whenever she collects a ksuba, so she's already removed from her husband's domain and she doesn't get mezainis anymore. So, whether she does this in front of a professional court, whether she does not do it in front of a court, whether she does it when her husband's alive, whether she does it after her husband passed away, doesn't make a difference. Once she really does, she claims her ksuba, she does not get any more sustenance from the inheritance. Now, but if she sold only part of it, then she still gets mezainis. And if the widow gets engaged, then again, here also of the mezainis, she loses the rights to her mezainis, because once she got engaged, she already married to someone else, and then she loses the status of the almana. And again, he only wrote to her in the ksuba, kol yimei meshach amanasayich, and she's not an almana anymore. Halacha beis. K'shem she mezainis achem moisim in the chasa. Just like, as we were saying, she gets mezainis, she gets food from his estate after he dies. Kach, noisim, so do they give her ksus, clothing, uchle tashmish, and utilities, things to utilize, umadr and the dwelling place, oyeshev is b'madr, or it's meaning that she dwells in the place, shayisu b'chayibala, or without that girsa, meaning they give her a mother, a place where she had been living when she lived together when her husband was still alive. Umeshtameshet b'karmak sasas, and she could utilize the pillows and the blankets, b'avadim, b'shavaches, and the slaves and maidservants, shenashtamashem b'chayibala that she used to use when her husband was still alive, she gets to maintain, and they have to keep all that living standard for her when she's a widow too. Now, nafla mother, but let's say the dwelling place, the house, falls, collapses, and the yershim chayav live nicely, so the inheritors have no obligation to rebuild it. Rather, they just rent her apartment according to her honor, as the Rambam is going to say in the next halacha. Now, the mama, let's say she says, hanichuli, leave me, v'ani avnen mishali, don't worry, you don't have to rebuild it, I'll rebuild it with my own monies. In Shemalah, we don't listen to her, because once it falls, that loses her rights to it, and they don't have to allow her even to rebuild it. And, she also cannot go ahead and support any cracks that derav, she cannot go ahead and cement it again. Elatesha by Kamasha, who rather she only has rights that she could dwell in it as is, or leave it, she can't make it any better. Now, if the inheritors go and sell the house where the widow, the wife was, their mother is living, they haven't done anything because, like we said, the dwelling place is obligated, is indebted to the widow from when she used to live there with her husband because she has those rights that were continuing. So as long as it's the original estate, they have no rights, she can't make it any better. If it falls, she has no rights to get it back, but they have no rights to sell. Now, halacha gimel. Let's say the house collapses. The husband never had a house. They always rented all their lives. So then they give her, meaning they rent for her, a dwelling place, an apartment, according to her dignity, what's necessary for her. And the type of food and the clothing, it's all according to her state of dignity. Now, let's say the husband's status was greater, his dignity than hers. So then they give her according to his honor. Because again, a woman, when she gets married to a husband, she gets upgraded with him and not downgraded. And that applies even after he's dead. So whichever honor is greater, that's the standard that she gets. The halacha dalad is, so we're saying she gets mezainis. But says the Rambam, birchas habayis merubah. The blessing of the house is from the abundance of the people. As Rambam says, case of household. So chamisha, let's say you have five people. Each one, if they would be eating on their own, would require a kav, a certain measurement of food that they would need. But if they all five are living in one house and they're eating together from the communal kitchen, it's enough, it's sufficient to have only four kavan. Because somehow when you have more people sharing a pool of food, you don't have to go ahead and expend that much. Same thing is for all other things, laundry, everything, it would be enough with less amount. Therefore, the halacha is like this. I'm regarding a widow that says, you know what, I'm not leaving from my father's house. She, after her husband passed away, she went to move in with her father. Set for me the amount of food that you owe me because I'm supposed to get fed from the state and deliver it to me over there. So the inheritors could tell her, look, if you stay with us, you're going to get mezainis according to what you're supposed to get. But if not, you're going to stay by your father's house. We're only going to give you according to how much you would cost us, according to the blessing of the house, which is less than how much a singular person needs, because we have a whole family going on over here. Now, the moist attendance, but if let's say she had a claim, a counterclaim, she's a young woman, and they're young people, and they're going to get a bad reputation if they're living together. Then they give her the amount of food that she needs, even just as living by herself, in her father's household, because she has a good reason why she's not living there with the rest of the family. Now, says the Rambam, the leftovers of the food that the widow did not eat, and the leftover garments that she's not using, are la yashnar to the inheritors, with the Rambam disagrees and says, no, that she gets to keep it. Halacha hey, almana shalchalsa, regarding a widow that became ill. So, let's say she needs treatment, medical treatment, which has no set amount, which is a chronic ailment, which needs constant medical intervention. This is the qualification as like food, which also has no set amount. As long as someone's alive, it's also a disease. As long as you're alive, you got to feed that. So here where it's a chronic situation, it's the same category. So just like she has to be fed from the estate, so too she has to have that type of medical treatment from the yershin. But when mitzricha refuah sheyesh la kitzvah, interestingly, but if let's say the medical treatment is only acute, it has a set amount how much the treatment is. Harizim misrabis miksubasa, then she actually has to go and spend the medical treatment. She has to get the healing from the value of her own ksuba, because that in a sense is similar to pidyena, to the redeeming her from captivity, which is only a one-time thing, as Ram had previously explained in the 14th parak. And just like the Yerushim are exempt from redeeming her, so too, they don't have to go ahead and pay for this acute medical treatment, which has a set amount. So too, as we just mentioned, Nishbis, if she was taken into captivity, the inheritors don't have to go ahead and redeem her. And the reason for that is, because the whole reason why he has to redeem her, it says in the Ksuba, Vachzirach Lech Leisha, I promise that I'm going to redeem you and take you back as a wife. Well, here it doesn't apply, because the Yerushim are not taking her back as a wife. The husband's already dead. And the fellow is Yavama. Even if she's Yavama, which her husband died, now she's waiting for Yimu Chalitza from her brother-in-law, and even if she had been taken in captivity when her husband was still alive, Umeis, and he died, and she's still in captivity, They don't obligate the husband that it should, she should be redeemed from his estate, as we said, because the inheritors don't have that obligation. And the brother-in-law also doesn't have, because he's not married to her. Rather, she has to redeem herself from her own funds, or she could collect her ksuba and redeem herself from those monies. But even if she's yavama or just a desertion, there's no obligation on the estate to go ahead and redeem her. Halacha vav. Meisa halmana. Let's say the widow passes away and she has not yet collected her ksuba from the inheritors, and she didn't even get a chance to make the shvu samana, to make that oath that she has to make before she collects. So yorisha bal chayav mikvaras. In this case, the inheritors of the husband, they're obligated to bury her. And the reason for that is because the burial is the husband's obligation because he inherits her ksuba. So here where the estate is getting the ksuba, so they have to bury her. Now, but if nishbosh was someone, but if the widow already took an oath, meaning the oath that I don't have any ksuba money, and she's going to get it, but before she collects it, she actually dies. So yershel yershin ksubasa. So her inheritors who inherit her ksuba, vehim chayav mikvarasa. So they're obligated in her burial, which the Ravid disagrees. And according to him, even where the widow did not swear, the husband's yershim are not obligated to bury her. Because what's the reason of the oath? That we know that she didn't collect from her husband, and she doesn't have any money somewhere else. And that's why she can't get the ksuba. So the equivalent of the ksuba is the obligation to bury her. So as long as she didn't swear, the Yerusha Baal could still say, maybe he paid up already the father, her husband, and she has that monies. And therefore, her Yerushim have to go to and bury her, because that's the equivalent. And she didn't bring proof yet, because she didn't swear yet. And especially from the fact that her inheritors take her nedunya part without an oath, as the Rambam says later on Halacha Tes, and therefore the Rebbe disagrees and says that the Yerushi Abal are not obligated even if the oath was not taken by the widow. Now, Avalo Yerushi Abal, but again, the Rambam says that her Yerushim, once she made an oath, it's their obligation, because they're going to get the ksuba, and not the inheritors of the husband. Now, Maisi de Almana, the wages, the income that the widow makes, go like Yerushin, go to the inheritors, because that's the equivalent of the mezainis is the trade-off for Maisi Daim. Now, the Yerusha Malamono, now let's say the inheritors say to the widow, look, let that be the trade-off. Take the wages that you make, and let that be, instead of the mezainis that we have to feed you, we don't listen to inheritors, because that's her rights. But if she wants that trade-off, then we listen to her, because, again, that's the trade-off, and she could say that I don't want the Tekan Sechachamim, which is that I could go ahead and get fed, and she could just hold on to her Maisi Daim and not get Mezainis. Halacha Zayin. B'chom halacha she'isha is labala, and all the work that a wife is obligated to her husband, which Rambam explains later on in Halacha and Perek Chafalav, almana is leisem, those are the things that a widow, who is also getting fed from the estate, is obligated to do for the orphans. Chutz, except for memezigas akais, pouring the cups of wine, to give him what to drink, v'atzar samita, and letting out, spreading out the bedspreads, v'achatzis pan nemiragel, and washing his face, his hands, and his feet, because those are things that actually are to induce intimacy, which obviously not appropriate here for the Yerushim, that's only for her departed husband. Halacha ches, mitzias almana. If the widow has a windfall, she finds something, uperis nachasim shechnis labal, or the produce of the assets that she brings into the husband when she gets married, those are la'atzma, that's for herself. And in this case, the inheritor does not have any rights in this at all, because the whole reason why the chamor mesakin that mitzisisha goes to the husband is so that there shouldn't be eva enmity between her and her husband, but it has nothing to do with the yershim, because they're not giving sustenance because they want to, they give it because they have to, and then we don't have to fix that at all. We don't care if they're upset. Now, regards to the payers of her and the chasim, since they're not obligated to redeem her, so then they don't get the payers, because the whole tikkun of the payers was because of the redemption. And since they're not redeeming her, she gets to keep her payers. Halacha tes. Manachasim atzmam, shehim nidunyasa. So the properties themselves, which are her nidunya, which are the properties that she brought into the marriage, which is two types, Tzem Barzel and Nechsem Eluk, Nitel Sesim that she takes without taking an oath. Ve'ein le'yishim emdin le'ilim, and the inheritors have no rights on this at all, because these are her stuff. Elam Cain, the only exception would be if Hesiru, if it went up in price or there was some benefit b'chaya bal when the husband was still alive. Vahi nechta term basla, and is one of the two types of nedunya, which is what she brings in, which is the properties of the iron sheep. Shamois labal, which there the increase, the benefits actually go to the husband, as the Rambam explained in Perek Tezayin. So therefore, the inheritors who inherit from the husband do have rights over here, which obviously we're talking about in such a case. But if, let's say, the Nadunya got lost or got diminished, and she's coming to collect from the inheritors what it went down, she would have to swear, because then she's not better than any creditor that's coming to collect from the assignment, which they have to swear. But we're talking about if she's just taking these themselves, then she doesn't have to swear, again, unless if we're talking about that there was an increase, which then that the inheritors do have rights to that. Now, the Mesa Amon, let's say the widow dies without any oath, so Yosheh Yershim Nidunyasa, so her inheritors inherit this dowry that she brought in, and Afa Pishur Nefzitzer Basel, even though it's the properties of the iron sheep, because although we said that then there are rights, if let's say there was an increase in wages, but still it's not the husband's properties, that they would have to swear to the Yosheimim, it's still Becheskes Amon, it's still in the possession of the widow, and therefore she could bequeath it to her inheritors, and they could go ahead and collect it, even though she did not swear. Now, v'mhoi b'hem maisa, but if we know that there was an increase, amaisa l'yishabal, that increase goes to the inheritors of the husband, because that's his right, because he insured, he gets the increase, and he's also responsible for if there's a decrease. Now, halacha yod, the Rambam moves on to regarding the halacha of the properties in regards to the collection for the woman to be able to have mezainis to feed herself when she's a widow. So, says the Rambam, almana shetafsa metalton, if the widow seizes movable items from her husband's estate, so that she should have what to be provide for herself to have sustenance. So although regarding basic law, there's no rights from a metatlin for mezainis, but the fact that she seizes, she takes possessions of it, then whether she took possession of it when he was still alive, whether she took possession of it after he had already passed away, which if that's the case, then the orphans really already took possession of it, and because the movable items of Yisrael are not meshubah to any obligations, even so, and a Philip Tafsa Kikar Zav, even if she took possession of a talent of gold, which even if it's worth more than the ksuba or more than the mezainis that she's fit to get for a period of 30 days, still Eimet Simiyada, we don't take away from her what she seized. Rather, the courts write down in their ledger how much did she take. And then they set a certain amount of food, again, according to her honor or his honor. And they calculate with her. And then she gets fed from what she already took, and as they're using it to buy her food, until either she dies, or until she becomes to a period when she doesn't have any rights for sustenance, if let's say she collected her ksuba, or she subsequently gets engaged, and then the inheritors take the rest that's left over from what she seized. Now, halach yidav. Let's say not regarding mezainis. Let's say she took possession of movable items from her husband when he was alive for her ksuba. Umeis, and the husband dies, so give him, she could collect from them. But here, in contrast to mezainis from the previous halacha, if she's taking possession after the husband died for her ksuba, then if she took possession after he died, she cannot collect from them because the inheritors already took possession, and it doesn't help to grab in regards to the yarshim because, as we said, the metalton of Yisayim are not meshubah to Baal Chayiv. Now, in the previous halacha, we said for mezainis, tfisa helps. That's because by mezainis, you're not really collecting from... By mezainis, there's a difference. There's a downside by mezainis that you cannot collect from the chasam shabadim. So therefore, the rabbis instituted that tfisa is going to help. In contrast to this halacha of ksuba, where she could collect, not from, even if the orphans don't have, if it was sold off, she collect from the chasam shabadim, since she could collect from the kuchas, so therefore we said that her tfisa from the yisayim is not going to be affected. So because it's stronger in a different area, therefore it's weaker in regards to tfisa, and if the orphans already had it, it's not going to be affected. Now, the next part, although it's seemingly from this halacha, but the Gersoyis and some other texts have it as, it's really part of the next halacha. Says the Rambam, Avagav shetiknu ha-ga'inim, although the ga'inim, which Rambam mentioned in Perek Tazayin, that they instituted, and it's a run-on sentence, shetikva ha-ksuba, that the woman should collect her ksuba, utinoy ha-ksuba, and therefore also the stipulations of ksuba, which we said many things are included in the conditions of ksuba, min ha-matatlin from movable items, and therefore, this is not like, this is a continuation of the sentence, and therefore, and also lefikach tizna almanim min ha-matatlin ha-pishli tafsa, so the woman could go ahead and be fed, the widow, from the movable items, even though she did not seize it, because she has rights to the movable items, because the ga'inim were mesakin. Oh, so that's what we continue in Halacha Beis, where some Gesoris take out the letter Vav, that, so ima niach bala matatlan, so if the husband left over movable items, v'loy tafsaisim, she did not take possession of them, hayershim neitnaisim, so the inheritors, they take them, v'heimal la mezainis, and they use that to go ahead and provide for her sustenance. And ve'ini chayla akav lemalem, she can't hold them back and to say, oh, yimatat l'manach mevezdin, let the movable items be placed in court until I get fed from them. Maybe it's going to get lost and I'm not going to have sustenance. Because if it was regarding land, which from the basic halacha, she does get fed from, if the orphans sell it, that she's not going to be able to go out and take possession of it, as Rambam explains in the next halacha, by Mataflin, where it's only from the Ge'inim, she most definitely cannot hold them back from selling it. So, Vafil Hisna La Beferish, and this is important, that even if they had specified explicitly, when they wrote the Ksuba, Shatizim Mataflin, she's going to get fed from Mataflin, still in Makevish, she cannot hold them back. This is how they constantly rule in all the courts. Now, this was regarding Mataflin, because only Takan Zagain. But halacha yud gimel, aval menich karka bar tazman, left over real estate. This is where it's different. She could hold them back not to sell it. Now, in both cases, but if they did sell it, in the mitzimi ad lekuchas, she cannot go ahead and extract it from whoever bought it. And the reason is she in ish v'abundas nizayin is because the widow and the daughters, although they get fed from the tznayik suba, but they only get fed elam lechazim necharim only from available properties the husband has. But once it's sold off, they have no rights. So therefore, by karka, she could stop them. Although if they do, it's going to be effective. Whereas in the previous halacha, the Rambam said, but by metalim, although she has rights to it, but she cannot stop them because that's just from takan sagalin. Halacha yudalt. Hidnich nashim rabbis. Let's say he left over many wives. Afa pishon the son zachazo, even though he married them one after another, meaning not at the same time, still nizainis b'shabbat, they get fed equally, and we don't say whoever got married first gets mizainis first. K'mesha ein din kedima b'metalim. Just like there's no halacha of preference, of precedence regarding that of movable items, because the borrower could sell it and remove the shibud of the malva, so therefore you have no kedima by metalin. So there's no kedima by mezainis because he could go ahead and sell his properties and remove that shibud from the mezainis. Now halacha tezvav, amana shenafel lifnei yava. What happens if the widow is, she died, with her marriage with her husband, he died without any children. So now she has a zika, a connection to her brother-in-law, which asks if the yibmor chalitza. She says around like this, in the first 3 months from when her husband passed away, which at that point in time she's not yet fit to do yim nor chalitza, as Rambam explained in the first parak in halachas yim chalitza, because we don't know yet if she's pregnant or not. So therefore, because of her husband, she now cannot go ahead and get married to someone else. So nizen is mishal bal. So for those first 3 months, she's going to get fed from the husband's estate because it's because of him that she had been married to him that she can't marry anyone else. Now, but vimhuka ubur. Let's say it's already after the first 3 months and you could already recognize that she's pregnant. Or similar, v'chini menichim ubaris, or we already knew when he passed away that she was pregnant. Nizaynis v'alechas achetela. Then actually she could get fed and continue getting provided for until she actually gives birth. Because up until that point, she's not fit for yibmor chalitza because it depends if there's going to be a viable child here that's born or not. So up until that point, she's held back from getting married because of that the party relationship, so she gets fed. Now, Yolda ben shel kayam, if she gives birth to a viable child, nizayin zvalech is kol yimei amanulsa. So then she's like a regular widow now. She has nothing to do with the yavim because that's only if there was no child, there was a child. She continues to get fed all the days that she's a widow, kashakal nashim, like all other women, which now, again, like we said, she doesn't have any zika to the yibim, so therefore she's like a regular widow. But let's say, lenim tzizimu beres achashle shechadashim, let's say we don't find her to be pregnant after 3 months that we waited. Oy shapila, or she miscarried. Now, most definitely, she's not expecting a child, and now she has this connection to the yavam because now we know that there's no child over here that was from her previous husband. So in that point, in the zenis, so that she doesn't get fed, loy mishabal, not from the husband's estate, because now she's not being held back from getting married because of him, because we know there's no children from him, rather because she's connected to the yavam, so she has no rights on the husband's estate. And it's not like a regular amana where as long as she doesn't get married to someone else, she could say, oh, it's because of the honor of my husband that I'm not getting married, so she gets fed from his estate. Because here, all the holdup is from the yavim. But v'lei mishal yavim, but neither does she get fed from the yavim because he has no relation with her yet. He didn't do yibim with her yet. Ela, tevas yavim, the only thing she could do is she could petition her yavim, lichnas alachlis, to say, okay, either marry me or don't, because I'm in this predicament now where I'm not getting, not from the previous husband, not from you, and not from any new husband. Halacha tezayin. So let's say Tavi Yavam Lichnas Alachlis. Let's say she petitions her Yavam, her brother-in-law, to get married or to divorce me with Chalitza. Vamad Bebez Nubach, and they have a court case, and he flees before anything happens, or he becomes ill. where he can't go ahead and consummate this relation. Or the Yavam was overseas, and she went to court over there herself or through her agent, so immediately becomes obligated in Mezainis, even if he does not flee, because he's in some other country. So she gets fed from the state of the Yavam, without any taking any oath, because obviously he didn't leave her any money, because he was never related to her at all, never had a relation with her, and moreover, her wages are not Meshubitim. So she just could get automatically Mezainis. Now, halachi yitzayin, let's say let's say the one brother-in-law she has is a minor who cannot do mechalitz until he's an adult, 13, with the signs of godless, then ein lamezaynus, she doesn't get sustenance because she's not getting from her previous husband because he's not holding her back, and the yavam also can't do anything because not an adult, so she doesn't get mezaynus. Ad sheyigdal v'yikashar yavam, until he becomes an adult, and then he's like, olav yavamin. So therefore, in this situation, because of divine circumstances, she won't be able to get mezaynus until he becomes an adult, and then he can do either yim or chalitza. Halacha yitches. Now the Rambam moves on. He says, "Mishiyichid karkel ishtay." If someone designated land for his wife, the mezaynus seha for her sustenance, b'shas misa at the time that he passes away, which with witnesses and like a regular matna shchivmera, which that she does not have to have any acquisition, doesn't have to be written, because the words of a dying person is like it was written and given over. Based on Takan Sacham, so that he should be calm when he's in this precarious situation. So he designated a certain land for her. Don't worry, you're going to have this land to use as sustenance. Vamani says, these are the words he says, Yi mokam plaini lamazainis. Let that place be for you for food. So harid ribu lamazainis. So he just increased her abilities for sustenance, as Ram explains. Vimha yischari. Now, if the gain of this land, the profit margin of it, is pachas mamazainis harusla, if it's less than the type of mazainis that she needs for her standard. So they tell Sasha Mashan Khazan that she takes the rest from the other properties. Let's say the profit she gets from this land is more than the type of mezainis that she deserves. They tell Sakal she takes it all because the husband had designated for her. Now, Avalam Amalam, but let's say he says different words. Let's say he says, Ye bemokim plain mezainis out. Let it be in place of your sustenance for what's over there in that place. And Vishaska. And she was silent. Because these words sound like that your obligation of mezainis should only be collected from here. And she didn't protest, because if she would protest, of course he cannot diminish her rights to her sustenance. But she was silent. Then she only gets the product of that land from that place. She cuts the mezainis, because he set that mezainis from there, and she didn't disagree. Now, halachi yitches, the Rambam moves on with the order of collection of a woman getting her mezainis. Almana shabala bezlan dvay mezainis. So the widow comes to court. She needs to get paid for the grocery. Yesh mishar, so says the Ramadan, those who rule, shepaisin lamezainis, that we set for her sustenance, they must be in us, and we don't make her swear in regards to that she doesn't have any from her husband that she's still holding on to, which obviously then she has to use that and not get more from the estate. But says the Ramadan, ve'in ro lismach al harazu, it's not appropriate to rely on this teaching, because whoever taught this confused the halacha in a different concept, be'isha shalach balam din siyam, regarding a woman that her husband went overseas. Where the halacha is, that she does not swear initially. She only swears at the end when she's collecting ksuba when her husband comes back. But that has nothing to do with the case of the widow, where you have to be concerned that the husband left her over a bundle of money for when he dies, so that she shouldn't have to be disgraced to go to the orphans. And also, the difference is, the sustenance that she gets when she's alive when he goes overseas, that's biblical. The sustenance that a widow gets is only rabbinic, so it's not as strong. So rather, as the Rambam says, "V'rabbi Seharu, my teachers, they ruled she'in l'mazaynis mebezn atchet tishava. She does not get sustenance from the courts until she takes an oath. Shari zebali parman nechzim. She's coming to collect from the estate of the orphans." And says the Rambam, the famous dictum, "V'chalan nifim mechzi yisem. Whoever's coming to collect from the estate of the orphans, like the parle bishul, could only collect with an oath." And says the Rambam, "Lezedai dinaitan. This is how my opinion also is leaning. V'chem ra'aladin. And therefore, it's appropriate to rule like this, to go ahead and only collect from mazaynis with an oath." Now halacha chaf. Okay, so the widow comes to court to claim her food. So again, like we said, we first make her swear, not like those who said it's only at the end. No, we first make her swear. But we sell it without making announcements because we can't hold her up until you go through this whole procedure. As the Rambam elsewhere explains, you have to go by announcing and then again announcing, you know, because she needs food. So you sell it without announcements. And the Mazenz will give her the food that she needs. And v'chein yesh l'limkar l'mazaynis, she could also sell the properties for food. Shlei bebezn mumchen, not even in a professional court. El b'shleish anashem neman b'leich raza, even with just three trustworthy individuals without any announcements. And v'chein machal l'mazaynis b'nele b'natzma shav b'shav, and even if she sells the sustenance by herself, but for the equal value amount that it's worth, Mechir Kayim, her sale is valid. Now, when the inheritance subsequently come to make her swear, then Nishpa, she has to swear the oath of the widow that she didn't hold on to anything from her husband because she didn't swear before she sold it because she did it by herself. So then subsequently she'll have to swear. Halacha chafalf. V'chama meichel mezainis. Now, how much do we sell of the properties to provide for the woman's mezainis? How much at a time? Says the Ram, could they lose him shish chadashim enough that could provide for her sustenance for 6 months? Lo yisal zeh, but not more than that. The reason is because she might get engaged or claim her ksub in that interim period, and then it's going to be a loss of the mezainis because here we bought all this food. So we don't. We only sell 6 months worth. And moreover, we sell the estate from whatever we have on the condition that the one who's buying that property, and he's paying for that, which they're using to buy groceries for her, that the lekech should be nice la mazna shleishim. He should only give her the amount that she needs for food for a period of 30 days. Because if she gets married to someone else, that whatever's left over, this buyer will give the funds to the yarshim, and it doesn't belong going to the woman. And then when that 6 months worth is used up, then again they sell again the second time for the next 6 months. And this is how it continuously goes, that they sell until there's left over from the estate only the value of how much is left for her ksuba. Then she collects the amount of her ksuba from the rest, and then she leaves because there's no more in the estate and she has no more rights on the orphans. Halacha Beis. So regarding a widow that the courts had set that the amount that she's going to get for her groceries, for her food. So they don't calculate with her, well, how much are the wages that she's making until the inheritors come along and they claim and say, hey, wait a second, we're feeding her. Well, how much is the money that she's making? She's working too. Then after they make the claim and then they find that she actually has income, then they take from her ma'isi daim, because that's in place of the mezainis. Whatever she's making goes back to the estate. Vimlav, but if not, then they go on their way. It's only if they find, if they make the claim and they find ma'isi daim, then that goes to the yershim. Now says the Rambam, I say but if the inheritors were minors, then bez mechashma, then the courts actually do calculate with her and they check, is she making money which would be obligated to go to the yershim? And then they evaluate the amount of how much she's making, that should go to the orphans. Just like they designate food for her to get, so too they are in charge for the assignment to make sure that what she's making goes to the yershim. The Ram continues regarding a loss of rights of mezainis from the widow. Halach of Gimel. If the widow does not have the document of the ksuba on hand, so ein la mezainis, she does not get sustenance. Why? Shema machu ksubasa. Maybe she was meicha. Maybe she was forgiving on her ksuba. Oy machu, or she sold it. Or mishkan oiso. Maybe she used it for collateral as security for a loan. Which, with all these things, as Rama explains later on Halachav Ches, she has no rights to mezainis. So if you don't have the document, maybe it's because you don't have the rights to that document anymore, which includes the tnoi ksuba, which is getting fed in her state of widowhood. Now, ava bishle ton yershin. This is even if the inheritors themselves don't make a claim. Tayanin anu loy. We make the claim for them. Let me tell her, bring your ksuba, and then you could swear again that you didn't hold on to anything from your husband, and then you'll be able to take your mezainis. Unless if the norm is, as Ram had previously mentioned this idea, in that locale they don't write a ksuba, then again there's no problem with the fact that she's not coming with her ksuba document. But if they do and she doesn't have it, well, then we claim that maybe she got paid up already. Halacha v'dal. If the woman and her husband went overseas, Uvo on the trip, she comes back from the trip and she says, Mes Bali, my husband passed away. So Ratz, if she wants to, Nizainis Kedin Kalaman, she could get sustained from the estate as all widows, because again, we believe a woman when she says her husband died. So she's Almana, she could get sustained. Ratz, if she wants to, that tells Ksuba, she could take her Ksuba, which any widow could do. Now, but that's if she says my husband died. But Amma, let's say she says, Gershani Bali, my husband divorced me, and she comes back from this overseas trip, in the menace. She's not believed because here, she could lie, because here she's not afraid of her husband, the dead husband coming and showing her up, because she could deny and say, no, that he did divorce me. So she's not afraid of him coming and contradicting her. So we don't believe her. So here she's actually limited now. She could only get sustained, she could only get food from the state only according to the value, up until that value of how much her ksuba is worth. As they call Mimon of Shach. Why? Because if she's not believed, if she really is still his wife, she has to mezainis. So like any wife, she deserves to get sustained. But if he divorced her, like she's claiming, so then, yeah, yes, like ksuba, she would be allowed to get the ksuba, sharik ksuba sabayada, because she has the ksuba document in her hand, but maybe she's not divorced. So the fikra then tells mezainis, I get ksuba sabayada, so then she only gets mezainis up until the man of the ksuba, and then she leaves, meaning we give her the stringency of both. We don't believe her, but she's claiming she's divorced. So she caused the problem for herself that she's claiming she's not married. So the most you could get is the amount of sustenance of her ksuba. We're not going to just give her the ksuba because maybe she's still married. We're not going to give her unlimited mezainis either because maybe it is that you're divorced. So that's how much sustenance she gets. Let's say a woman was in a situation where she was doubtfully divorced, where if let's say he threw the getar, we're not sure what's closer to him or to her, where then she's in doubt if she's divorced, and then the mace bala, then her husband dies. So she's not going to get sustained from his estate. Because since the situation of doubt, if she's married or not, to be a widow, we don't remove from the inheritance out of doubt. Now, but when her husband's still alive, she does get sustained. And the reason is because she's still forbidden to get married to other people because maybe she's not divorced. And the whole reason why she's not allowed to get married to other people is because she still has, because of her husband. So therefore, she gets mezainis. Until she gets a bona fide get. And then, obviously, she's not going to get any rights with her husband. So a poor widow, already 2 years went by from when her husband passed away, and she didn't claim any mezainis. Oh yeah, Shira, or a wealthy widow, Shashasa Shalasham Loitava, where she went through a period of 3 years and she didn't claim the mezainis. So Vitra, so here she has given up her rights because all that time went by and you didn't claim it, you don't get the mezainis. And Ve'inla mezainis B'Shem Shabbos, so she does not get the sustenance of the years past that she did not make a claim. El Mishal Shatava, only from the moment that she makes a claim. But if less time than that already had passed, if it'll be a mechid, even just 1 day short, Le Vitra, she has not been meichelit el tevas, when it tells mezain Hashem Shabbos, rather she claims it, she and she takes the food from the years that passed. Halach of zayin amana shetav mezainis min yerushim. So a widow that claims her food from the inheritance, heimar, they say nasanu, we already gave it. What are you talking about? The month of Nisan and we gave it already. Vimer, she says, lo nitalta, I didn't take it. So kozman shleinis is as long as she didn't get married to anyone else yet, al yisem lo, I'll be right. It's on the orphans that being proved. Or if they don't bring proof, Tishavish was Hesus Vatitel, then she could make a rabbinic oath and she go ahead and collect. And the reason for that is because if they don't bring proof that she took, she's the one that has the chazaka in the properties, and they're coming to take it away from her because she has an automatic right to get fit. Now Mishnah, but if she really got married, Alel Lahalvi Raya, then the proof, the onus of proof is on her. And if she can't, oh, Yeshava HaYeshem Shavuos Hesus Shnasla, or the inheritors swear that they gave her, and they're exempt because the moment she gets married, then the properties are not in her domain anymore. Then they go to the domain of the orphans, and she's coming to remove from them, and therefore she would have to bring the proof, and they could just swear and exempt themselves. Halach of Ches. Din Tesefik Kesubah Kedina Iker. The laws of the additions of the Kesubah that the husband puts on when they're getting married to the Kesubah document, more than the primary, has the same halacha like the primary. Lafikah, therefore. If the widow claims the tesefes, or she sells that, or she pardons that, or she uses collateral tesefes ksubasa, the additions of ksuba imha ikker with the primary, so ain la mezainis, she doesn't get mezainis. Just like we said, the halacha is regarding the ikker, so it is regarding the tesefes. But vim tava mixes v'nicha mixes. But let's say she claimed part, but left part that she didn't claim, meaning she was claiming the primary document of the ksuba, but she left over the tesefes that she was not claiming yet. This is just like when a woman claims partially for the ksuba, but she leaves part that she's not claiming yet, which, again, then the halacha is that she could still get mezainis. Now, if any woman sells or just pardons unspecified when she's doing that to the ksuba, that we presume that the sale or the pardon is including the addition with the primary. Shashneim Ksuba Shemam Muhammad, as the Ramad previously mentioned when he was defining all the terminologies, he said that the title Ksuba includes the Tesefis with the Iker, and therefore if you're selling quote unquote the Ksuba, that includes that, in contrast to the Nadunya, which what she brings in, the next term Baz, and the Sumluk, that would not be automatically included in the title of the Ksuba.